Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming his way. When Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Before I give a sermon, I want to talk to you guys. We're making a move, and it's a move. You all know that this building has served us well for many, many years, but it's on its last leg, so to speak. I still recall the Easter a few years ago, pre-pandemic, where there were so many guys that had to go to the bathroom that they were also using the women's restroom, and I remember Terry Russell standing guard outside so the guys could go into the bathroom. Happy Easter. This is hard for all of us. This is hard for me. But what's good about this is I'm still your pastor. It's 10 minutes down the road. And we're still together as church family. And there's still lots for Northwest United Methodist Church to do, and we're going to do it. Yes. People, as they were coming last night, or on Friday night, wanted to make sure that they filled out their form, not so much for the drawing for the door prize, but to make sure that they would be notified of when Trunk or Treat was going to be next year. So they're already planning on next year. I talked with people about, and the Easter egg hunt will be here, Palm Sunday, Saturday, if you understand what Palm Sunday, Saturday is, the Saturday before Palm Sunday. We've been given a gift. We could stay together as church family if we choose. Now, I'm not telling anybody you have to go down to First, but you get to keep your pastor, and you get to keep your church family. And it's 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So I'm really hoping that all of you will come and join us as we come together with a group of people that think and believe like we do, who have almost identical theology to what we do. They understand that it's not about what goes on inside the building, it's what goes on outside the building. And yes, it's a change. It's been a change for me. But what's made it bearable for me is all of you. And knowing that I'm still your pastor. So I hope as we begin next week, and next week is All Saints Day, and we're going to have a big vavoo. Don't tell anybody. We've got bagpipes. We got all kinds of stuff planned for next week. So come and join us. And I think everybody will have a toilet that they can use. I guess that's one of the highlights of the thing. I still don't know where they all are. There are so many of them. Pastor Emily has to take me around occasionally to fill me in. So I really hope that we will see all of you, if not most of you, starting next week. And we'll be doing things here. We're going to be doing some Bible studies here. And Who knows what we will relaunch here in the way of worship, because that's also buzzing around in the back of my head of what we can do here differently from a sense of worship. So stay tuned. Y'all know how I am. You never know what to expect. So, all right, let us begin. I love this story of Zacchaeus. Part of it is because one of the first songs that I learned in Sunday school as an adult was "Wee Little Man," and a wee little man was he. Climbed in the sycamore tree. I know the motions. Thank you. Made my day. Very good. Well, we all know that Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and I'm sure his parents were so proud of him, and they never, ever dreamed that he would turn out the way he did, because parents never do. They have these wonderful visions of what their children will grow up to be. But part of that was in his name. The name Zacchaeus means pure or righteous. And he was given that name as a baby. His mom and dad looked down upon him and thought he probably was the most precious little thing that they'd ever seen. And so they named him pure. They knew and they believed that God had great plans for his life. So they named him righteous. And I imagine that his parents probably did their very best to help him live into that name. They probably took him to temple. They taught him about God, maybe even read scriptures to him. They loved him so much. And through their showing that unconditional love for him, I would imagine that Zacchaeus was given just a glimpse of God's love for all people. And that meant him. But as he grew up, he probably found that he wasn't growing as fast as his friends were. The word short in this passage means an adult who has not grown out of a child's body. So that'll sort of give you the lay of the land. He probably was about Connor's size. So Zacchaeus probably was troubled by that. He was probably even tormented by that. He felt insecure about his size, and therefore he had to prove what a big guy he was. You know that thing. We have terms for that in the hospital about short doctors, but we won't go there. He wanted to prove to people that he was big and he was tough and he was unafraid. And he couldn't do it by his size, so he had to do it by other means. I imagine he probably had his share of being beat up at school and probably led a lonely, isolated, and ostracized existence. Probably didn't have many friends. And not that he couldn't have had friends, but he probably had poor self-esteem, and it caused him to push away potential friends because he'd been hurt one too many times. So he built this wall of protection around himself, and people stayed away. The walls worked. But behind those walls was a desperately lonely, self-hating person who wanted nothing more than to just be loved, to be accepted, to be understood. How many of us sometimes have those feelings? Or maybe we see, you know, some of our youth that we see. They put on this tough exterior. They wear all black. They walk around with all kinds of piercings and tattoos. But when we look into their eyes, we see sadness. And behind all of that black and tattoos and piercings, there's someone wanting to be loved, someone wanting to be understood, but probably has been hurt too many times. And I think that's how Zacchaeus felt as a young person. So one night when the Roman occupation came to Zacchaeus, they gave him an offer he could not refuse. An offer to be somebody. A job offer as a tax collector. Zacchaeus faced a tough but inevitable decision whether or not to sell out to the Romans. As a tax collector, he would have to pay Rome a certain amount for his territory, and then, of course, he could get rich. He could get rich by overcharging in taxes, by putting widows out of their homes, by robbing and cheating and stealing from many people. He'd also have to give up his religion. He would no longer have access to the temple. They didn't allow tax collectors to come to temple. He would be hated, truly hated, not just shunned or misunderstood, but it didn't matter because he was going to be rich, and that's all that mattered. So he made that decision to be rich. Now he was going to be somebody. He would hold power, power that he never ever had before, control over other people's lives. But this power, this money, didn't make Zacchaeus feel any better about life than before he became a tax collector. Because you see, he was still miserable. He still knew he lacked the love his parents introduced him to as a young child. He didn't get it from anybody else. He knew he was not living the life that he had been created to live. He knew he was not being the person that he was capable of being. And so he was desperate. Desperate for God. So here we have the Zacchaeus guy. He's rich but lonely and hated. He's wealthy but spiritually impoverished, and he knows it. Do you remember the first thing that Jesus said during the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Zacchaeus, the tax collector, understands that his life is not complete. Something is missing. Something very, very big and very, very important is missing in his life. Do you ever feel that way? Like something is missing? Something important is missing in your life? Maybe you are a little like Zacchaeus, and you are in need of our God. No doubt Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus, and he probably listened to what people were saying everywhere about Jesus. He welcomes sinners. He eats with them. And after Jesus eats with those sinners, something happens. Something happens to them and they begin to change. They become like new people. So when Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was passing through Jericho, he decided he wanted to see this Jesus guy. He wanted to see Jesus so desperately that he ran ahead and he climbed up in that sycamore tree to see him. Now, when you leave today, if you look out here, we have a sycamore tree on the side of the church here. It's got a kind of a smooth bark, especially up towards the top. And usually, it's a long way to try to get to that first limb to be able to climb a sycamore tree. So this was difficult, especially for a guy that was probably 4 feet something. So he sweated it out, but he finally got up the tree and he settled on a limb among the leaves because he didn't want anybody to see him. He probably thought that he was secluded there, and he sort of had a private box for the parade. So he waited. He waited to see Jesus, and sure enough, Jesus was coming. And much to Zacchaeus' surprise, Jesus knew Zacchaeus was in the tree. He knew everything that there was to know about Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus always did that. Think about the woman at the well. He knew that he was one of the lost sheep. He knew that he was not living the kind of life that God had created him to live. He knew that he was an outcast. He knew that he was lonely and hated. But he also knew that Zacchaeus was searching. Searching for something that would make him feel like a real human being again. I want you to remember another thing that Jesus said during the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So Jesus reaches the spot where this spiritually impoverished man is hiding in a sycamore tree. Knowing that this man is hungering and thirsting for righteousness, hungry for love and needing God. And he says to him, Zacchaeus, I imagine, this is my imagine, what are you doing up in the tree? Come on down here. Let's talk. Because I really would like to go have dinner at your house tonight. Can I do that? Will you open up your house to me? And we can talk? And so what did Zacchaeus do? He comes right down that tree, I imagine, because of the kind of slick, he probably slid right down. And he said, yes, Jesus, come. You know, Jesus didn't force himself on Zacchaeus. Like, he doesn't force himself on any of us. You've heard me say before, Jesus is a gentleman. He never forces himself on you. He just says, hey, I want to come. I want to come to your house. And Zacchaeus says yes. And I think this is what Jesus does for all of us. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You know, nothing probably could have been farther from Zacchaeus' mind than this Jesus from Galilee saying he wanted to come to his house, a sinner. There must have been hundreds upon hundreds of other upstanding citizens right there where Jesus could have gone to their house, and they probably weren't sinners like he was. Out of all the priests of the temple, out of all of the well-to-do, respected citizens, Jesus chose Zacchaeus' home. The home of the most hated, reviled member of this community. You know, for Jesus, the outsider, the poor, the voiceless, those who are loathed and abominated by society, hold a high place. Of course, all the people saw was what the exchange was between Jesus and Zacchaeus. And they began muttering about Jesus, as they always did when Jesus did something out of the ordinary. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. He's going to share a meal. But my friends, isn't this what Jesus is all about? Isn't that why Jesus came to this world and took on the cross so he could be the guest of us sinners? How blessed are we to have a Savior who wants to come and eat a meal with us, who is more than willing to love us despite our sins, despite our shortcomings. A Jesus who sees who we are and sees our potential. He doesn't really come to judge us, but to save us. How unlike Jesus am I when I get judgy, when I pass judgment on other sinners? How unlike Jesus am I when I shun or despise those who have built walls of protection, but who on the inside are so desperate for this Jesus that I call my Savior? How much am I like the Pharisees of Jesus' day when I look down on other people, thinking that I'm the righteous one, when all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? I should be humbled by my Christian faith. And if I am not, I had better start looking at getting a different understanding of Jesus. Because I should never judge anyone else. Instead, I, like all of us, should walk this earth humbled by the love of Christ for sinners just like me. And I should have the kind of love for everyone that Christ has for everyone, no matter what their sins are, because, folks, we are all sinners, all of us. My sins are different than your sins. Your sins are different than other people in this room. But let me tell you, we're all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat. Our storms may be a little different, but we are in the same boat. So Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house and he talks with him. And something radical begins to happen. He admits to Jesus that he's been robbing people. And he then promises, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And I'm going to restore four times as much as I've stolen in these false taxes. Because you see, something happened to Zacchaeus when Jesus walked through the door and began to talk with him and sit with him and eat with him. He became a new person. Could it be that Jesus' unconditional love for him gave him a taste and maybe even a reminder of what life really is all about? Could it be that experiencing Jesus' love and acceptance for him, a sinner, was finally able to allow him to love and accept himself? Because that was the deal. Zacchaeus didn't love himself. He didn't even like himself. He hated what he was doing. Lloyd Douglas wrote a poem about Zacchaeus, or a story about Zacchaeus. And he thought that the conversation between Zacchaeus and Jesus went something like this. Zacchaeus, said the carpenter gently, what did you see that made you desire this peace? Good master, Zacchaeus says, I saw mirrored in your eyes my face as it was meant to be. Friends, have we seen mirrored in Christ's eyes the person that we were meant to be? The person that Christ sees in us? Because you see, Jesus is still entering and passing through the Jerichos of this world. Places like South Bend and Mishawaka and Niles and Osceola. Jesus is still seeking out the Zacchaeuses of this world, and that's you and I. It's our neighbors. It's people we work with. It's the people that we pass by on the street. And Jesus is still saying, come on down, because I want to go to your house today. Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus gladly, and it changed his life. The question is, how about us? Have we allowed Christ into our hearts truly, into our homes? Have we let him in? Because sometimes I think we have all the answers. And it's not until something awful happens that we open our hearts to Christ. And yet Jesus wants to be a part of all of our lives. The good times, the bad times, the in-between times, the mundane times, standing out raking leaves. The question is, can you answer like Zacchaeus and hustle down that tree and say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my home, for I want to be changed. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the story of Zacchaeus that is really the story of all of us. Because we are all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. Sometimes we don't know it, but we have. Lord, help us to say yes. Help us to open our hearts, to open our minds, to open our lives to this love that Christ brings to us. A love that is without measure. A love that is available for everyone, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what we will do, no matter who we love. A love that says, I want to come to your house today. Will you open the door? It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Cry. I wish I didn't have to go.